come down, I think. Unless you want to continue playing, that's okay. Amen. It's the Lord said, today if you hear the Lord's voice, do not harden your heart, but obey. He said that again and again to the Israelites in the desert. He said, today if you hear the Lord's voice, do not harden your heart. He said that to them in the desert. He's trying to get them out of something and into the victory and into the promised land. He said, today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Hallelujah. Today I've had a full day and a blessed day at that. Just full day. Even right before I got here, I still had phone calls from work. Just a full day. But just knowing on the inside of me that I was going to get to share tonight God's word, it created in me an excitement and a strength and a joy. And then the Lord said, hey, you are so privileged, meaning all of us, that we can come together in all freedom with not having to hide anywhere, not having to go to some mountain like that video we saw from, what was it, Iraq. They were actually hiding. They were like beside a mountain place, just hiding and worshiping the Lord. And the Lord was saying to me, Reuben, you're so privileged. You're so honored. Oh, you're so blessed so that you can come together in the name of Jesus. Oh, and when Christ comes, the anointed one comes. Oh, there is power. There is power. Christ, the anointed one, is here tonight. And there is power. Thank you for that word that confirms what I have in my heart. There is power. Thank you for obeying the Lord, Eric and Denise. There is power. There's just so much power here present. The Lord said to me, Reuben, it's just not you, but rather you and I. And so last night when I was reading and trying to prepare for tonight, it was 10 o'clock at night, because yesterday I had another full day. And as I sat at the edge of my bed and I began to read and read the word, there is power. Physically, I was tired. Mentally, I was tired. But spiritually, there was power on the inside of me. And it kept me going, and I just kept reading and reading and reading under the unction of the Holy Ghost, for He was there. He was just, oh, just power from within. Oh, it's just so, it's, don't have the words for it. The only thing I can say, there was power present, anointing present. And you know, it's beautiful. It's just powerful. Father, I just want to thank you right now that you touch my tongue tonight. Father, I thank you that those words that you're going to give me to speak, they're coming. They're here already. You said to me that you're going to speak through me tonight, that word, and to read the gospel to my brothers and sisters. Oh, to read the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. So beautiful it is. Let's go to, let's all go, if you have your Bibles, to Luke chapter 4. And this is where I was reading last night. And it just, oh, it blessed me so much. Oh, I was so blessed. And so, oh, God, it was just amazing what the Lord does for us. You know, and this is the account where Jesus, you know, he was taken to the desert by the devil to be tempted. But, you know, it wasn't the devil. The Holy Ghost took him to the desert so that he could be tempted of the devil 40 days, right? But Have you ever wondered what he did after that? Eric talked about it right now. After that, all the temptations were said and done for those 40 days because he was tempted. 40 days, but that wasn't the only time he was tempted. The Bible said he was tempted in all, every known sin to mankind, yet without sin. He was tempted in all. Any sin that you can think of in your life, well, he was tempted with that, but without sin. He resisted the devil, and the devil fled from him. Jesus said to the disciples, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He was a praying man. He was just powerful. He would, first and foremost of anything else he did, was in contact with the Father God. He was always in prayer. He was always connected. He was just the power on him all the time. You know, well, he defeated the devil in those 40 days. He came out of there victorious. I mean, this was right after he was baptized by John the Baptist. Then he was taken by the Holy Ghost to the desert to be tempted by the devil. And we all know the story, right? We all know the story. I remember when I was baptized, we went to Rucker Canyon, and it was me, Bobby Scott, and Lisa Scott, and I don't know who else was there. It was a bunch of others from this church, Faith Ministries. And we went to Rucker Canyon, and I was baptized. And Bobby said this way, Ruben Caperon Cerrato, he was raising his head like this to heaven, and he had his hand on my forehead. And he said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And if there's anyone out there who doubts this, that says only in the name of Jesus, well, in the name of Jesus, I baptize you. And he, boom, put me under the water and brought me back up. It was right after that, when we got back home, when I was hit hard with temptation. Just attacked big time. With all the weaknesses that the devil knows that I have. And the devil knows our weaknesses. And I was hit so hard that I fell. I did. I failed. I fell. Right after I was baptized. But Jesus did not fall. He came back in the power of the Holy Ghost. No, he didn't sin. He didn't waver. He knew who he was, you see, because he was connected with the Father. Oh, I don't know, Lord, why? Why do you want me to say that? Okay, I'll say it. Jesus was born of a virgin. And I'm not a scientist, but I've heard that our children, they carry the dad's bloodline. I don't know if that's true. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard that it's the man's blood that the children carry. Therefore, Jesus, Father God, he came in the power of the Holy Ghost and overshadowed the Virgin Mary. And therefore, it was his bloodline, most pure, most precious bloodline of the Father God. Imagine, what does that make us? That we have an older brother named Jesus. That when he returned, after he was crucified and rose again, he returned and it's like he said, hey, tell Peter and the others. He said this to Mary Magdalene. Tell Peter and the others that I go now to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. It's like, oh, that's so powerful. That's coming out of me right now. I don't have any notes tonight. It's just the Lord said, hey, I want you to preach the gospel tonight. And oh, I have so much love for you. And it's the love of God that is inside of me. And the Lord wants to speak to your heart tonight. And the Lord wants to minister to your heart tonight. That you too can go out in the power of the Holy Ghost. God confirmed it. Eric was talking about it. It's the same Spirit, right? He wants to talk to you about the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh. Let's start with Luke chapter 4, verse 16. This is beautiful. I'm just going to read this, but that's not part of the message. I don't get to the message till chapter 5. And I have 30 minutes to do it in. Listen, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And this is the message the Lord gave me. Isn't that wonderful? He said to me, "Reuben, say to them that it was you and I." So I could say, "Hey, it was me and Jesus. It was Jesus and I. He was talking to me last night about this." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that beautiful? It's just so precious to be a child of God. And he said, and he came to Nazareth, verse 16, chapter 4 of Luke. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Where he was brought up as a child. I think this is most interesting. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. Notice it says that he found the place. He didn't just open up the Bible or that scroll and, you know. No, it says that he found the place where it was written. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Oh, hallelujah. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." To me, that's the year Jubilee. To me, that I believe that's the same year we're in now. "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Oh, hallelujah. Whew. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness. Everyone around was looking at him and wondered. It says all. Remember that word. And wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" You know, when he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," I believe there is a message after that. For it says, "And all bear him witness." He was preaching grace. He was preaching God's ability. He was preaching God's unmerited favor. He was preaching, "Hey, I am here now. I am the one that is full of grace and truth. I am the one. I am the grace preacher. I am the one." He was preaching grace, and all wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, this is what I was reading last night. I thought it was most interesting. "Ye shall surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, thank you. Do also in thy country." And as I read this scripture last night, hey, wait a minute. In verse 31, it says he hadn't even gone to Capernaum yet. The prophet Jesus was prophesying, "Hey, there's going to come a day when you're going to say of me, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever ye have heard, we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." Jump over to 31. "And he came down to Capernaum." Isn't that amazing? I saw that last night. Oh, goodness gracious. You mean you were prophesying, Jesus? He said, yes, I was. He said, yes, I was. Even before you did all the miracles, he was like, oh, wow. That is so powerful. That is so wonderful. And just go back to verse 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, he was saying to his kinfolk, he was saying to his friends, he was saying to the people he knew from he was a little boy and a teenager and all the way up to his adulthood. He was saying to them, he was, hey, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. He had just got done prophesying. Hallelujah. But I tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. That was the only one that received. Because everyone else, he's saying, hey, everyone else didn't believe. Everyone else was like Eric was saying, it was they're looking around the earth and the world that things are going on. They didn't have the faith. They just didn't believe. But the power was present. That's what he's saying. Hey, they could have had it too. He's saying the power was present for them to receive as the widow received. But they just went along with life. They continued working. They continued with the daily routine and everything else and everything they do to have fun. They just continued and continued. Hey, but the power was present. Just like the power is present here tonight. But why are all these seats empty? Yet the power is present. To heal your body. The power is present to set your mind free and fill your mind with peace. The power is present here tonight to receive your healing. The power is present here tonight. Isn't that wonderful? This is the gospel. That the power is present. Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. Sorry. I don't know why I did that. How you going? Let's go to verse. Okay, I read that already. Where did I? Okay, verse 27. And then he continues to say to them, to his peers, to his friends, to his kinfolk, and everybody that was there. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of, I don't know who that is, Elisha, yes, I'm not sure. Where is your Bible says that is? In the Elijah the prophet? Or Elisha the prophet. Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. Isn't it amazing? He was a Syrian. He's saying, in effect, hey, the power was present. Hey, I could have healed all the lepers. The power was present, but no one would obey. He said to Naaman, hey, go wash yourself in the river Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. You all know the story. I know you do. But yeah, Naaman could have said, hey, I got cleaner rivers over where I'm from. Why does he want me to go to the murky waters? The rivers run like they do in Sonora. It's like they're full of mud and murky and sticks and all kinds of stuff. And he said, you know, he could have disobeyed the word of the prophet. He could have missed his opportunity when the power was present. He could have said, hey, This guy wants me to go to the River Jordan, and he wants me to dip not only once, but 7 times. Oh, but thank God for the friends, right? Thank God for the friends. There's something special about this man, Naaman, and that specialty that he had is that he believed God's word that came from the prophet. The specialty about him is that the Lord said to Abraham that Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So Naaman went to the River Jordan in those murky waters and he dipped himself 1 time and he came back up the same. Oh my God. I'm talking, there is power present. And all we had to do is obey and receive and believe that it is present. There was a time when Jesus went to a meeting and there was power. The scripture says there was power present for healing. Yet not everyone received the power. Naaman dipped himself again into the River Jordan. And he came back up again with no change. Everything was still the same. He felt the same. His skin was white as ever. The leprosy causes your skin to be white. And then later pieces of your body fall out until you die, right? Everything was the same. Everything was the same. There was no change in his body or in his thinking. He could have just given up. This prophet is, you know, he's crazy. Why should I be doing this? He must have felt like ridiculous, you know. And then he dipped himself again in the River Jordan, and everything was the same again. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith and not by sight. The Bible says that we shall live by faith and not by sight. Makes me want to cry because this Jesus is talking to me as I say that. And he dipped himself again in the River Jordan the fourth time. And everything was the same. He probably felt even more ridiculous. Thinking maybe, hey, this is the fourth time and I see no change in my body. And if after the seventh time, if nothing happens, how ridiculous am I going to feel? The devil, when the devil comes, he comes in like a flood. And just before we're ready to receive by faith the victory, the triumph, our healing, our breakthrough, the devil comes and says to you, he's not going to heal you. And this murky water, that's just crazy, don't you think? And after the seventh time, you're going to be the same and you're going to walk out of here all wet. Just feeling humiliated, just ridiculous and just made fun of. It's as though this prophet mocked me. But then he dipped himself the fifth time and everything was the same again. The Bible doesn't say this. But I imagine that he was saying, but the prophet said, but the fifth time he's up, and he looks at his body, but the prophet said, the man of God said, that if I dip myself seven times, I shall be cleaned, and I shall be cleansed, and I shall be healed. The prophet said, and he dipped himself a sixth time, and he came back up, and his skin is all the same. No change. No difference. His body still feels the same. Maybe even hurts. I don't know. Maybe it's itchy when it gets wet. And what about his friends that were there? Leprosy is very contagious. And I imagine if it's wet, it's even more contagious. I don't know. But thank God for friends. He said, Jesus said, hey, I don't call you no more servants, but I call you my friends. He's not only our older brother, but he is also calls us his friend. Where he speaks to us directly, not in proverbs or in parables, but directly now, because we see him with an unveiled face. So the seventh time that Naaman dipped himself in the river, what happened? According to the prophet's word, according to the word of God, it was accounted to him as righteousness, and he received his healing. He rose up, and he was totally healed. Not only was he healed, not only was the power present, but he got up, and his skin was like a little baby's skin. I wouldn't mind some of that. How about you? See, I'm getting older now. My skin seems to be wrinkling right here on the side. Lord, can I have one of them facelifts? What a deal, huh? What a deal for obeying God's word. That's just so awesome. Oh my God, 15 minutes, Lord. Okay, I better hurry up. And all they, maybe I should skip this, Lord. Let me see what it says. No, I'm not going. It's all good. I'll hurry up. All they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Imagine that. They were angry because they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to accept the chosen one, the Messiah, that he was the one sent, the sent one, the anointed one. They didn't want to receive. They didn't want to accept him in his own country. Go figure that one out. It's true. This happened to me here in Douglas. When people hear I'm a preacher and, oh, really? I can remember when you did this, that, and the other, and my God, it wasn't very pretty. You know, how do you answer that? Power! No, a lot of times I don't have an answer. I just, but you know, when friends talk of your past, as they try to do with Jesus, it's like, oh my, they don't believe I am, by the grace of God, what I am. They just don't believe the grace of God yet. They don't understand the power of God yet. But one of these days, they're going to understand. You know, we are what we are by the grace of God, right? This is what Jesus was preaching here. Gracious words, they said. Oh, come on, Reuben, let's go on. All right. Boy, I can just go on and on. How do you put up with me? Okay, let's see. We're filled with wrath. Verse 29, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon there the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. How dare they? But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. It was not his time to go yet. And came down to, and here it is, and came down to, I have trouble saying that word. Say it again. Capernaum. Capernaum. Right, Denise? Capernaum. Hey, it says here, and he came down, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power or authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Oh, the Bible says that the demons believe and they tremble. They believe. And they tremble. Oh. You know, I've had that happen to me once. True story. It was when the church was still on 9th Street, and I went to a certain place, without mentioning names or areas. I went to a certain place, and I got off my car, and I was about to enter a certain home, when this man came out yelling, and when he saw me, he was terrified, and he began to yell at me. Oh, I know who you are. I know who you are. You're one of those child of God. I know who you are. And walked away. And I said, what's wrong with that guy? I didn't know what was going on. I was still in my first stages of, you know, just going with Pastor Calvin and Barbara. I didn't even know what a pastor was until I met Calvin. See, I was very Catholic. I said that, but I never was. Just to identify myself with Catholic. I never was a practicing Catholic. I never was a religious man. Really, I wasn't. Anyway, oh boy, no wonder I don't finish. Lord, how am I going to? Let's see. Okay. And then Jesus rebuked him. That's verse 35. Saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Oh, Lord. Oh, I long for the day. I've done this before. The Lord has given me the privilege that in his name I have cast out demons. Some of them screaming, some of them just leave without making a noise. But the guy that the demon left him, he just felt like he was dead and it scared me. Oh my God, I killed him. But then the Lord reminded me of the scripture, you know, about that kid that was demon possessed and fell as though he was dead. Oh my God. And I said, really, I thought he was dead. I said, oh God, here I am in Mexico and Bacuachi. And they're going to put me in jail for this. They're going to say, ah, él lo mató. He killed him. But then, Lord, help me. I said, but yeah, I just took him by the hand, and he just began to rise up. And he was a changed and different man. True story. I really did get scared, you know. Anyway, but the Bible says, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you in my name, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. So, hallelujah. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went into every place of the country round about, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That's just so wonderful to me. I was reading this last night. Lord, that's just beautiful. I wouldn't want to see, I love my mother-in-law. I do love her with all my heart. I wouldn't want to see her suffering that way. And I know, contrary to what the world said, the mother, no, it's not that way in the kingdom. My mother-in-law is born again, filled with the Spirit. She's a wonderful, powerful woman of God. She loves people. She loves Jesus. I love her so. Yo amo mucho tu mamá, mi amor. Mi suegra Marta. Hallelujah. Now when the sun was setting, verse 40. Okay. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers or different diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands. Listen to this. And Jesus laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Hey, what a difference, eh? He couldn't do a thing in his own country. But he goes somewhere else and he does all kinds of miracles. Just like he said, this Proverbs you're going to say of me, you physician, heal yourself. He prophesied that even before he did it. That is faith. Bible says that Abraham called those things. Oh, here he goes again. He's just touching me. Power. He said, Abraham called those things that were not as though they were. And he believed God's word when God said to him, I'm going to give you a son. And he said, hey, I'm 99 years old. My wife Sarah's sterile. She's 89 years old. But you said, Lord, and we know the story that he messed up with his servant and everything, but afterward, that when Jesus came back to him a year later to reinforce his word unto him, I'm telling you, God is speaking to us tonight. Abraham against hope, against all odds, so to speak. He said, hey, I just thank God for he gave me a promise. He said that my wife Sarah is going to have a son. Therefore, I believe it. And I thank the Lord with thanksgiving. I thank the Lord for his word. For he said to me that my wife Sarah is going to have a son. And he praised the Lord. He strengthened. The word says that he strengthened himself by giving glory to God for the promise, even though he had not seen it yet. Jesus, in a sense, did the same thing. Hey, I'm going to all around this area. Capernaum. And I'm going to do all kinds of miracles. If you want, you can receive some of this power too. If you just come and follow me. Whew. I believe that the Lord's saying to us, it's time to call those things that are not as though they were. I have a ministry on the inside of my heart that the Lord has promised me. And I call that ministry that is not yet as though it was. What do you want to call tonight that is not yet as though it was? Are you ready for the challenge tonight? Are you ready to receive that word of God like Naaman did, like the widow did? And she obeyed the prophet, and Naaman obeyed the prophet, and they accepted. They accepted it, and they did it. And they enter into this anointing, this power to heal and to set free. God is speaking to all of us here tonight. For we all have something that we want to see done in our lives, don't we? Are you ready for the challenge? Listen. You may think I am saying this, but these words just came to me. Are you ready for the challenge? Are you ready to call those things that are not in your life as though they were? Oh, he loves you so much. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. The power is present. It's both in you and around you. For this is the word of faith that we preach, that whosoever believeth on Jesus, believeth in their heart on Jesus, they shall be saved. For with the heart man believes. For with the heart man believes unto his salvation. And salvation is a big word. It includes a lot of things. Oh, sorry. Okay. At least we're going to finish this chapter. And he arose out of synagogue. Yeah, I read that. And Simon's mother-in-law ministered to everyone. Verse 40. And when the sun was setting, all that they had any sick and different diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And he laid personally his hands on every one of them and healed them. And he is a personal God. Personally with his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew he was the Christ. For his time was not yet. You know, I added that. It wasn't time yet. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. They just wanted to be with him. As we should just want to be with him. And that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore, I am sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. He said, I must preach. We must preach. We must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore we have been sent. He said in Matthew chapter 28, hey, all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth and even in hell. Hey, I'm sending you to go preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them, just like Brother Scott did me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe the word that I have taught you, And behold, I am with you, even unto the uttermost of the earth, I am with you. He promised us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I am with you. He's by my side. He's along my side. Not only is he in me, but he's by my side, teaching me. He teaches me every day about people. He loves people. I love people. I could only love people in the love of God. We could only love people. We could only love each other in the power of God's love. And when we're walking in the power of God's love, faith works. It just does. Scripture says that faith worketh by love. And that power is in you. Well, I still had chapter 5. And I had chapter 21 of John. But I feel I must give it to you because I don't know when I'll get another opportunity. I'm not going to read it, but it went something like this. When Jesus, after he did all this, he went to gather up his disciples. He was led of the Holy Ghost. He knew which ones to, bring in. And, he came to Peter and all them. And people came to him in chapter 5, and they were asking him, come on, preach to us, teach us, oh Rabbi. It reminds me when I was in Hecuri, people would say to me, ándale, hermano Rubén, ven y háblanos con esas pláticas que tú nos traes, porque son hermosas. And the people would come to Jesus, they would say to me in Hecuri, come Rubén, and bring us some more of those talks, they said, to us, just the way you talk to us. And Jesus, right here, where is he? By the lake of Gennesaret. And people came to him, and there was a fisherman's boat, and he asked Peter, hey, can I borrow your boat? And just push it off to the side a little bit. And he preached to the people. He taught the people. He taught, I believe in my heart, that he taught the grace of God. I really do. We are what we are by the grace of God. And after he was done, he said, let's go into the water. And he said to Peter, hey, launch into the deep. And I'm going to make this fast. But Peter, with contempt, okay, at your word, I'm a fisherman, you see, and I've been doing this all my life, and you want to come here and tell me how to do my job? He had like a contempt against the Lord. And the Lord reminded me of the book of Malachi. I leave this as homework for you. Read the book of Malachi, and that'll take you to the book of Samuel. Well, maybe it did me anyway. I better make a long story short. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. That the people said that the table of the Lord was contemptible. They would bring the offerings to the Lord, you see, and they wouldn't receive. They would just bring in the sickly goats and the sickly calf and everything else is sickly. And they give them the second things to the Lord, and it wasn't acceptable unto the Lord. The Lord's table was contemptible. And it's like this reminded me of that. You say to me, how to do my job. He was in contempt against Jesus. Oh, but what happened afterwards? And I was reading this last night, and it dawned on me that Jesus had launched into the deep. And they did. And they brought in a bunch of fish, so much that the net was breaking, or it broke in this instant. And Peter said, oh Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinner. He was saying, I am disobedient. I haven't given you my 100%. I've only been giving you 50%. Forgive me, depart from me. I wanted to do this on my own, just like Eric was saying earlier. Remember, Eric? That they want to do this in their own strength. This, and when they saw even the partners, listen to this, the partners that Peter had, he had partners with him. He said, come over here. He said to James and to John, the sons of Zebedee, come over here and help me. They were partners of Simon Peter. And guess what? Both of their boats were filled with fish. So much so that both boats sank. You see, when you partner with God, He'll fill up your boat. Your cup will run over. He said, come over here. Look what God is doing over here with me. Come over here. Come over here, partners. And they both got filled with the blessing of the Lord, so much so that this boat began to sink. They actually sunk. And then they were astonished as to what the Lord did. And then He said, hey, fear not. I'm going to make you fishers of men now. And the Bible says that they left their boats aside and they followed Him. And then He took me to John chapter 21. After that, Jesus died and rose again. He appeared to a lot of people in Jerusalem and others too that also appeared. And I believe, well, I'm not going to go there because I'm going to go to a lot of things. And then He, listen, got to get this. They started their ministries by catching a bunch of fish. And He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But Jesus had died and rose again. And He appeared, you know, to the 12, to the 11. And then Thomas wasn't there. And then He appeared to all 11 of them. And Thomas was finally there. And He said, I believe because I see you now. But after that, they went fishing again. Eric, they went back to work. They went back to what they knew. They knew, they went back to their know-how. And Jesus appeared, Jesus was on the side of the lake, and He said, hey, cast your nets on the right side of the boat. Jesus is already in His glorified body. He had already been risen. I saw this last night. Jesus and I. It's true. And you know what? And then they cast the net onto the right side. Jesus is already glorified body on the side of the beach there, or the... And John said, it's Jesus. And Peter dove off the boat and went to Jesus. Seemed to me like Peter's always repenting, right? He made him repent four times. But what did he, three times. What did he say? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my little lambs. It's like Jesus was saying to me, hey, you started your ministry by catching a bunch of fish. And I said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And now that I'm risen, I'm saying to you again, with this mighty catch of fish, that you are to preach the gospel and feed my lambs. How about that? Isn't that wonderful? I think I need another 2 hours, Eric. But no, that's enough. Let's stand up. Let's stand. I'm going to finish. I'm done. I know you guys are tired, like Eric was saying earlier. I know it's hard to just sit there and listen to this guy talk, huh? Stand up, please. Let's pray. I hope you enjoyed this message tonight. I hope my heart's desire truly is that we all learn from the gospel, that we all learn from Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take upon me my yoke, for is light, and my burden is... how does it go? Take upon you my yoke, for it is light, and my burden is... My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thank you, Eric. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And then he goes on to say, come to me. Come to me. Follow me. Come and learn from me. He's just a loving, kindness kind of God, you know. Just go ahead and close your eyes. And come to Jesus. Right there where you're at. Begin to say to yourselves, unless you want to say it out loud, it's okay. And begin to call those things in your life that are not as though they were. Right now, come to Jesus. And begin to call those things that are not as though they were. Yes, Lord. Thank you for my ministry, Lord. I thank you, Father. Call upon my ministry that is not yet as though it was. With a thankful heart, Father, that you've called us to preach the gospel you have anointed us. Christ, the anointed one. The anointing is what breaks the yoke of bondage. And it is the anointing that is upon you that preaches. Call upon those things that are not right now as though they were. The anointing, Father. Father, I call upon the souls. I've asked you for the souls many times of Douglas. And we call those souls that are not yet as though they were on these seats. Not only on Wednesday night filled up, but the other day you're going to give me to preach in Spanish, the seats filled up. Not only whatever day you give me to do this on, but on Sunday morning they fill up. Not only on Sunday morning, but every Sunday evening they fill up. We call those things, Father, that are not as though they were. And we speak life to those dead bones. And all the flesh comes to them. The new birth of Jesus comes to them. Jesus. There is power present. There is power on the inside of you and around you. And when you call upon the name of Jesus, the Bible says that everyone that calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Call upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. Call, and he will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Come and learn from him. For he is meek, he is graceful, he preaches grace. He's a grace. We're under grace. And the door is open. Yes, it is. The door is open for the harvest. But we must go out and teach. Actually, he says, go out and preach. Go out and preach the gospel. It's in you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. Remember? It's in your heart, that word of faith, and in your mouth. Preach it! Preach it. Amen. I am done.